Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, reading verse 1, and then verse 6. Jesus is speaking. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." In verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Heavenly Father, once again, we're privileged to come before you. I am so grateful for the things that you've done in my life. First, salvation. Praise God, I'm on my way to heaven. But all the manifold blessings throughout these 30 years of me being a Christian. I'm so grateful for your blessings, your kindness, your patience with me. I pray for things, and 20 years you give them to me, and that teaches me patience when heavy. I'm so glad for the things that you've done in my life. And I'm so glad that you called me to be a preacher. And to that end, Father, help me to preach today. I need your presence to be, I know it's a radio broadcast, but be in this service, I pray, in Jesus' name. I'm asking that your hand would rest upon me and give me understanding and wisdom. Please help me to deliver what I believe that you've given me to say. And we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the praise, glory, and honor, all the credit. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about judging. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And we went through it. And we saw that right after he said, "Don't judge," he ends up calling people hypocrites. And this verse right here, verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine." Now, maybe he's talking about real dogs, actual poodles or German shepherds or whatever. You wouldn't take good steak and give it to a dog. I understand that. And don't cast your pearls before swine. Why would you take jewels and throw them into a pig pen? Well, obviously you wouldn't want to give steak to a pooch. Obviously you wouldn't want to take pearls or diamonds or gold or anything and throw it in a pig pen. But obviously it's a symbol. He said, don't do that, lest they trample them under their feet. And then that's exactly a pearl. You know, what's a pearl to a pig? It's not good to eat. He's just going to stomp on it and bury it in the mud. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you, or gore you. You may know people that hunt wild hogs. I've never had the opportunity. I hope to get a chance, but it's a dangerous thing. It's not like shooting a deer or a rabbit. Hogs have horns. Tusks, what have you. And I've heard stories of people being gored to death by those tusks. And that's what hogs will do. You've got something valuable, precious, you throw it to a hog, and he can't eat it. He'll just stomp on it, and maybe he'll turn around and, just because you're near, just because you were, I don't know, trying to be nice to him, maybe, he'll turn around and gore you or rend you. But again, it's a symbol. He's talking not about animals, but about people. people that act like dogs, people that act like swine. And again, this is more judging on Christ's part. But Romans chapter 10, verse 15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Matthew chapter 13, verse 46, "Who, when he had found the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." And that's a line from a parable that Jesus gave, which talks about the preciousness of salvation. The man was walking through a field and he happened to find the pearl, or maybe some gemstone. It's translated pearl in the King James. Maybe he found a ruby or a diamond in the field and said, "Man, there's gold in them there hills, I guess." He didn't want to tell anybody, but he went and sold everything he had, hocked his grandma, what have you, and got all the money he could and went and bought the field. And then when he had the field in his possession, he had the deed, then he went and dig up the gemstone and another gemstone and another one, and he struck the mother lode, as it were. That pearl, it says, that he found laying on the ground or underneath a rock or whatever, he realized its value. Now, he had stuff back home. In today's language, he's got a plasma TV and a nice car, you know, 2.4 children, what have you. But he sold all he had so that he could buy that land, that piece of ground, that piece of property. Because in that piece of property was more riches than he can possibly imagine. And that, Jesus is saying, is like heaven and salvation and the things of God. You may look and say, "Well, you know, I go to church every Sunday and it's the same boring thing every Sunday, and all you know is church." Well, I'm telling you, it's more than church. It's more than just religion. It's more than just doing things. Because God sent His Son from heaven down to this earth to die for our sins. And that is precious. That is precious. Whatever trouble you find yourself in, you do something stupid and you find yourself in jail. Maybe, you know, out drinking Friday night and you hit somebody and they end up sending you to Angola. Maybe your marriage falls apart. Maybe you fall in with the wrong crowd and you end up on the corner selling dope. But whatever the case, God can bring you out of it. God can help you. I don't know if they commute your sentence in Angola, but God can help you in Angola. I've met murderers in Angola that were born again. Their sins washed away. Their lives changed. And the man I am thinking about, the one I met last time I went up there to minister, I wish that if he can get out, I wish that he would come to my church. That man is a solid Christian and a wonderful brother in the Lord. Nice man to be around. And he was a murderer, but God changed him. You see, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have all of heaven living in our soul. It's the pearl of great price. But he says, don't take that which is holy and cast it to the dogs. Don't take this wonderful gospel and just carelessly throw it at someone that doesn't care. Now, I know, I was a sinner. Occasionally people would come to try to minister to me and I would get mad and whatever. And I'm so glad that they persisted. I'm so glad that I finally heard. I'm so glad that I'm born again. But there are some people, and maybe at that time I was one of them, that just have no use for the gospel. Somebody tries to say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, and that person turns around and rends you just like those swine. Yes, we should preach the gospel. There's no question about it. But Jesus is saying that there's some people that, hey, you know, why don't you just leave them alone and go find somebody that'll listen? Because at one point he said, if they don't receive you in this town, go to another disciples, because all the time it takes for me to come back, and this time it's about 2,000 years, you won't have gone over to all the towns and villages of Israel, he said. There are people that are willing to listen. Go to them. Sure, you can minister to those that don't want to hear. You can pray for them. You can be patient with them. Take years, decades maybe, trying to... And I understand it. I'm certainly not knocking that. But he's saying, and this is the Lord saying, hey, you know, why don't you worry about those that are willing to listen? That's what he's saying, and I have to accept what he says. But he says in verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. This is God speaking. God come in the flesh. And he's talking about prayer. You can ask God, and sometimes you get an answer immediately. Sometimes you may have to look around for the answer. Maybe you have to study the Word of God or go ask your pastor or whatever. Sometimes you got to beat on the door. It's like the widow and the unjust judge. She came to him again and again and again for years, probably. Every day, every week, whatever it was, every time she saw him, hey, I need you to do that for me, whatever kind of legal matter it was. And he finally got tired and said, man, I got it. That woman's got to just stop. She's got to chill. Okay, I'll do it. Ask, seek, and then finally you got to knock. It's a progression. You simple ask, and then you have to go hunting for it, but then maybe you got to beat on the door. And he said that's an example of importuning prayer, what that widow did. Pestering that judge. He says, you need to pester God. Oh, God, I want you to get my son off of drugs or whatever. Well, that you can ask. You may have to knock, okay? But God can do anything. God can do anything. When Jesus was here, he raised the dead. He cast out devils. He forgave sin. He did all kind of things. Lazarus dead 4 days out of the ground. Up out of the tomb he came. We know the story. God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. And we should put our trust in him. And as these verses say, have a lifestyle and a mindset of continuing to pester God. Now, oh God, I want a Lexus. Oh God, I want a Lexus. Well, no. Maybe not. But you should ask for things that are in his will. You should ask for things that are his will. And we both know that some things are just not the right thing to have. Some things would be nice, but some things, you know, you just don't need that. But things you need, he'll give you. And in the context of the verses above, his focus is on ministry. His focus is on winning the lost. Ask him for souls. Seek after souls. Beat the door down, begging God to save souls. Now, that's a prayer he'll answer. That's a prayer he wants to hear. He'll stop what he's doing, put that stuff down, and hey, my child's asking me to help him win souls, or to help him give to missions work, or whatever the case. Well, let me answer his prayer. Because his focus is going to be Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where we're to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That is his focus. But he says, ask, seek, and knock. In verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Fear not, little flock, Jesus said, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God's on your side. If you'll be on his side, God will be on your side. And he'll move heaven and earth to answer your prayer if the situation warrants it and if you're faithful to him and if it's his will. There's no telling what God can do for you. And there's no telling what God can do through you if you make yourself available to him. Verse 12, Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This verse is stated in a more familiar form in another gospel, but this is the golden rule. If you want somebody to do something for you, then you need to do something not for them. Not if I do it for them, they'll feel obligated or nothing like that. But if you want people to treat you a certain way, you ought to be treating people that way. You want people to be kind to you and generous to you and what have you and friendly to you and what have you, then you need to be a kind, a generous, and friendly person. That's what he's saying. If you act rude, if you act inconsiderate, whatever, well, that's what you're going to get back. But again, the golden rule. You know, you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter on love. It's quoted at every wedding. Love is patient and kind and what have you. Those are the qualities we should have. We should try to treat people the way God treats us, with patience and kindness and forgiveness and what have you. I'm remembering the parable that Jesus gave. There was a guy that owed a bunch of money, millions of dollars, and he went to the man that he owed and says, Oh, I can't, you know, will you give me time? I don't have it yet. And the man that held his debt said, You know what? I had a good lunch today. I'm feeling all right, taking the afternoon off. Look, I'll be compassionate. I'll show mercy. Look, you don't owe me a thing. Don't worry about it. Just go on your way. But that man that was just forgiven went and found somebody that owed him $50. Grabbed him by the throat and says, Look, you're going to pay me now or we're going to take a walk out back. Well, when the lender heard of it, he said, Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Is that the way you're going to act? I was generous to you. I forgave you. Canceled your debt. Let you go free. And you treat this man this way? Guess what? You owe me every penny. Pay up now. And he went to debtor's prison or what have you. That's what God did for us. We're filthy, rotten sinners, to be honest. I don't know how many times before I became a Christian, I took God's name in vain, threw his name around, and even sometimes threw it back at him. Lived any way I wanted, didn't care, was selfish, what have you. I was a sinner. But God forgave me. God changed me and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, to quote David, I think. Well, all of the things he did for me, I need to be kind and considerate and compassionate to others. That's the basis of the golden rule. If you can treat people out of love, against such there is no law, it says. But moving on, he says, Enter ye at the strait gate. In verse 13, For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, this is a rough saying, and actually the next one gets a little worse, too, I suppose. It's a rough saying. There's a lot of people that sit in church every Sunday, and they're not on their way to heaven. They're not there for the right thing. They're because Grandma makes them, or they want to be seen, or it's expected, or it's a place to hide and make people think that you're okay when you're really doing something you shouldn't be on Saturday night. Whatever reason, they go to church, but they're not born again. Not saved. When they die, they don't make it to heaven. They go to the other place nobody wants to talk about. But this is the Lord saying, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." We can talk about a sinful lifestyle and doing stuff on Friday and Saturday nights. "And many there be which go in thereat." Most people are on their way to hell. And that's a fact. Not a popular fact. Most preachers today won't mention hell on the radio. Or behind their pulpits or on TV. They won't do it. But that's the truth. That's what the Bible says. And most people, and everyone that belongs to a false religion, they're going to hell. Islam, don't go to heaven. Hinduism, don't make it to heaven. Pick your religion. And in fact, pick your Christian religion. If all you have is church attendance, you don't have a relationship with God, you don't make it. And again, that's not popular to say anymore. He says, because straight is the gate. Now, we think of straight as in not crooked. But this word straight, the way it's spelled, it means closed in. Difficult to pass because you have to squeeze through. And that is correct. It's difficult to pass, hard to get to heaven because of all the objects that you have to dodge. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" Well, I was on my way to church and, man, the bar, you know, and whatever, and my friends, and you veer off and you end up not living for God. It's hard to live a Christian life. Or here's one that's hard. "If any man follow after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me." The cross, not the little pendant you wear around your neck. The cross Jesus was nailed to, hung and died. He says you have to deny yourself. You have to give up those things that you enjoy doing. Maybe you lose all of your friends like I did. Maybe your family gets mad at you like mine did. Maybe you lose, and it's a long time before you find again. It's a difficult thing. And most people, they don't want that. They reject that idea. "Yeah, I'll go sit in church, but don't ask me to sacrifice."
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Stream.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.